This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Just a couple of years ago, the climate solutions we heard from pundits and governments was mostly about industrial solutions to industrial pollution. How times have changed. A new paper coming out in the prestigious Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences outlines 20 steps we can take to work with nature instead. The effort was led by the Nature Conservancy, with 32 authors from a slew of universities and countries. If we are going to have a habitable future, this may be it. Lewis Bloomberg is the director of the California Climate Change Program of the Nature Conservancy's California chapter. He has a long history in climate solutions while working for the EPA and the state of California. Lewis, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Well, I appreciate you showing up. I want to bring you up to speed here. As listeners know, we've heard Anne-Marie Eldering of NASA and Alessandro Baccini from Woods Hole tell us that the tropics have flipped from being a carbon sink to becoming a carbon source. Climate change threatens to make this the new normal. Lewis, did your team find ways to turn this around?
Well, our new paper that was released this week confirms that natural climate solutions are an important and essential tool in the effort to combat climate change. We're using the latest analysis showing that improvements in how we manage our forests, farms, ranches, and wetlands can generate significant benefits to the atmosphere. Ultimately, 37% of the emission reductions that are needed to keep warming below 2 degrees centigrade.
Now, protecting natural lands is the mission of the Nature Conservancy. I wonder, when did your organization realize they were becoming climate fighters as well?
Well, Alex, I've been with the Nature Conservancy 14 years, and so that started before my time. I've been working on the role of nature and climate since 2000, but the Nature Conservancy started somewhere around 1991 or two, as far as I know, looking at efforts to stop tropical deforestation.
To get to this paper, we've already been misled by things like clean coal, carbon credits, carbon offsets. Why should we not be suspicious of this new label, natural climate solutions?
Well, Alex, we are not suspicious of forest carbon offsets. In fact, in California, they're working really well. And there's a long history that the Nature Conservancy has working with the state of California to make these real, dependable, reliable emission reductions. So that said, I think with natural climate solutions, this is just the next step, if you will, moving beyond forest offsets. This is looking at how we manage our forests, farms, ranches, and wetlands. We know that we can do better and at the same time generate benefits to the atmosphere while managing these lands better.
Could you please give us in detail two examples of natural climate solutions?
Well, I guess a couple of examples. So I would start with the Garcia River Forest in Mendocino County, which is 24,000 acres, about 14,000 hectares. It's a property that we worked with the partner called the Conservation Fund to purchase in 2002. And in 2004, we set up the first forest carbon offset project there on that property. So this is a what we call natural forest management. So this is land that was redwood forest that was heavily cut over, and we, with the Conservation Fund, have implemented a sustainable logging plan that's generating significant amount of climate benefits, about 4 tons per acre per year in measurable natural climate solutions outcomes, if you will. And then I would like to highlight the efforts in the California Delta, and that land is wetlands that has very carbon-rich peat soils. And there we're working with scientists and others to demonstrate how restoration of the wetlands can generate significant benefits to the atmosphere while also creating habitat for wildlife and protecting the local community from increased flood risk and saltwater intrusion, both of which will be amplified by climate change.
Still, personally, I doubt we can take out enough food, enough fiber for 9 to 12 billion projected humans, all of whom want a modern, full-scale life. Won't those needs overwhelm the efforts to employ nature as a kind of carbon control?
Well, in the paper, we're ensuring that we maintain the current food supply. And then looking to the future, we are working with partners and ranchers in many places, including Brazil and in Indonesia, for what we call supply chain strategies. We're working to help create more food on the same number of acres to remove the incentive to change land management.
Lewis, prior to this paper, what did experts say was the maximum potential of natural climate solutions, and then what did your new team discover?
Well, our paper discovered that the potential is about 30% more than was previously forecasted in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And this is because, in part, that we looked at more pathways, we looked at more opportunities. So we know that avoided deforestation was one that people have looked at for many years. But we also looked at, well, what would happen if you actually avoided forest conversion or reforestation, or if you planted trees in the croplands. So we looked at more options here, more opportunities, and that gave us a greater percentage outcome, if you will, 30% more.
We recently had a Russian scientist on the show suggesting that enhancing natural biology could sequester enough carbon to allow us to continue burning fossil fuels. What do you think?
I don't agree with that. I think we need to continue to reduce emissions from the energy sector and from the transportation sector, where we've made progress. But the issue here with this paper is that natural climate solutions are not getting the same kind of attention that the energy and the transportation sectors are. We will not meet our climate goals if we don't address how our lands are managed. And what the paper shows us, and what we're learning here in California on a similar paper that we're working on, is that we can get really large, meaningful reductions, greenhouse gas reductions, from changes in how we manage our lands.
You know, I remember just 4 years ago, all I heard about was carbon capture and storage, and governments and think tanks were actually proposing that we build great big pipelines that would capture the slurry and pump it down into old wells, and it was a huge industrial solution. And now, instead, I'm hearing a lot of what you're talking about, that the forests and the natural lands could help us a lot more than that.
Well, carbon capture and storage is an idea. It's a experiment, if you will. What natural climate solutions offer is really the low-hanging fruit. Natural climate solutions are quick. We can do this now while we work on other technologies for the future. Natural climate solutions are also cost-effective. We found that a third of the reductions that we're talking about are available at less than $10 a ton. They're cheap right now. They're quick, they're cheap, and they provide a whole suite of other benefits that we've talked about, including biodiversity and food, as well as clean water for people all over the world.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I am Alex Smith. My guest is Lewis Bloomberg from the Nature Conservancy in California. We're talking about published new science showing natural climate solutions. Do you think there is a path to staying under 2 degrees C without a massive new stewardship of nature?
No.
But yet, I'm uncomfortable that humans need to run nature to survive. I mean, we have a tendency to build roads, to take the resources and overwhelm indigenous cultures as we try to help. Other people have suggested, well, we should just stay away, leave the land untouched. How does the team of scholars address that tough issue?
Well, Alex, the human activities have impacted every acre of the planet. You can go into the wilderness areas high in the mountains. You can go to the Arctic areas. You can go to the savannas of Australia, where the fire regime has been disrupted. So, you know, a hands-off policy is not going to make the changes that are necessary in greenhouse gas emissions in order to keep the planet habitable for the future.
And I notice in your bio that you were once the Deputy Director of External Affairs for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. What do you make of the recent deadly wildfires in California, where we have a lot of stations, and do you see them as a definite climate signal?
Well, I think the fires in Northern California are a major tragedy. Over 40 people have died. There have been 5,000 homes and other structures destroyed. The fires are still burning, and we've had fires ignite in the last week in other parts of the state. So wildfire is a terrible tragedy here. It is one of many extreme events. And this is just what the scientists have predicted. We do know that climate change creates the conditions that will make extreme events more frequent and more severe. And that's just what we've seen in California. The analysis that's been done by the state of California, analysis that the Nature Conservancy worked to help support and fund, shows that the temperature has risen 1.8 degrees in Fahrenheit, the average land temperature in the state, as well as we just came out of a four-year drought. So we are seeing drier, hotter temperatures and conditions around the state, which lead to these larger fires, and that's just what's happening.
What does this new paper in PNAS add to the climate toolbox that maybe we didn't have before?
First of all, it really reinforces and clarifies the essential role that natural climate solutions play in addressing climate change. We will not succeed in meeting the ambitious reduction targets that we need to keep temperature below 2 degrees centigrade if we do not change how we manage our lands. So the paper reinforces strongly the reality and the imperative that we have to change how we manage our lands if we're going to achieve our climate goals. It also provides a menu of strategies that are available to all kinds of people, to landowners, to government officials, to NGOs, to people that really want to take this issue seriously and look at our land sector. So we've got a menu here of 20 different strategies, and you can pick and choose for what works in your area. And we also show here in the paper the connection between proper land management and protecting our water, our soil, our biodiversity, and our air quality.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
Well, I think that it's important that, for me at least, I draw some hope from the paper. You know, we can do this. It's not going to be easy, you know, and we need to get all hands on deck, and we need to be moving quickly. But here with the paper and with the work of the Nature Conservancy, we are hopeful because we do see an important and often overlooked pathway here, which is using natural climate solutions to aggressively fight climate change.
Our guest is Lewis Bloomberg. He is well known in conservation circles even before he became the director of the California Climate Change Program in that state's chapter of the Nature Conservancy. We've been talking about the new paper in PNAS titled Natural Climate Solutions. Find links to all this in my weekly show blog, published Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. You can find your nearest chapter of the Conservancy at www.nature.org. Lewis, thank you for telling us a little bit of better news.
Thank you, Alex. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
We are, as always, out of time for this week in Radio EcoShock. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again.